Today we are embarking on our series of sermons from the book of Romans. And if you have read the introduction to the book of Romans, that would be very helpful for me not to bring more additional information about those if not relevant in our sermon. The letter to Apostle Paul to the Romans was written to the Christians in the city of Rome. Have you heard this phrase, or have you used this phrase, all roads lead to Rome? Have you heard that before? Meaning, it was accordingly written by somebody named Alain de Lille, which means kahit anong paraan, makakarating din. Means that there are various ways to reach the conclusion, or many ways to achieve a goal, or many routes to arrive at a decision. Just focus on your goal and you can reach there. But this phrase, when this used that name of city of Rome, it testifies to the importance in accessibility of Rome in previous millennium. Accordingly, the roads who have been built during the Roman Empire, and it all those roads would lead to Rome, where the emperor stayed or lived. So even if they come from the north, or from the east, or from the west, or south, all roads lead to Rome. And probably because Rome was very popular at that time, believers who were converted in Asia, in Jerusalem, or during the Pentecost, may have traveled and came to Rome and started a church in Rome. And Bible scholars suggest that Paul, as the author, but somebody named Tertius wrote it. Why was that? Paul dictated it, but Tertius was the one who was the scribe who wrote it. Accordingly, as former Pharisee, Paul was a former Pharisee, and when he was presented to the Sanhedrin at Caesarea, when he was about to go to Rome, when he was about to go to Rome in his last missionary journey, he did not recognize the high priest. Now, a former Pharisee who cannot recognize the high priest, that is, there's something wrong. And the high priest told those people around him to slap Paul because he seems like disrespectful to the high priest. But Paul said, "I'm sorry, I didn't recognize that you were the high priest." You can find that in Acts chapter 23 if you would like to know more about that. And when he wrote the book of Galatians, he wrote in Galatians chapter 4, verse 15, that if it were possible, the Galatian Christians would give them their own eyes to him. Why would he use that phrase? It was not something that was kind of like example or something, but it could be very true that he needed to have a surgery in his own eyes. So when he wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 17, he cited the thorn in the flesh. Many scholars say that his thorn in the flesh was his feet, his thorn in the flesh was his being unmarried at the time. his thorn in the flesh. Accordingly, he was getting bald. But it could refer to physical ailment that could have affected his eyesight. It was not very clear, but Paul's letter to the Romans was written in the city of Corinth, and accordingly, AD 56. Anyway, in the book of Romans, Paul discussed to the Roman Christians the doctrine of salvation, or if you want to use that big term, the doctrine of soteriology. Can you say that? Doctrine of soteriology. What is soteriology? Soter is deliverance, and logic is word or to study of deliverance. So the doctrine of the study of deliverance, doctrine of soteriology, or doctrine of salvation, if you would, through Jesus Christ. Now, salvation in Christ, this is the same gospel that we preach. This is the same gospel that we share to others. And we, when we accepted the gospel of Christ, we received eternal life. And because we received eternal life, we are mandated to tell, to testify what the Lord has done in our life. What has Christ done in our life that we would testify about? The Lord Jesus instructed in all disciples in Matthew 28, verse 19 to 20. Let's read this together. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. That is the promise of the Lord Jesus, that when we go and make disciples, he promises presence to the very end of the age. Now, I underline that word nation. In the Greek word, it is ethne, the plural form of ethnos. Ethnos. Ethnos pertains to race, nations, cultural, ethical, ethnic group of people. And it is also that the original Greek term for the word Gentiles. So Gentiles and nations, they have the same Greek form. In his letter to the Romans, Paul provides essential information about the gospel, how we may be able to share how, what, and why we share the gospel. Now, the question, personal question for each of us, have you sensed an assurance of the presence of Christ in you? Nasisense niyo ba yung na ang banal na espiritu ay nasa inyong puso na isang buhay? That whenever you do something great or small, good or bad, there is some kind of assurance or conviction in you. We use the word conscience. Sometimes we think that our conscience is the one convicting us. Truly, God uses that conscience, but it's the Holy Spirit at work in our life. When you do something that is not proper, he would convict us. When you do something that is right, there is this peace and joy in our heart. Now, if you have sense, because the Lord Jesus said, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So we need to be very sure that He is really with us. But that promise is given to those who go and make disciples. It is not promised to everyone who says, I pray to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and my pastor said, I am saved. Now, that is very usual thing that we hear from churches. The pastor would assure you that you are saved. But when was it written in the Bible that pastors should be assuring believers of their salvation? Meron po bang nakasulat doon sa Bible na ang mga pastor dapat ang magbigay ng assurance? I don't think so. It should be the Holy Spirit. Christ should be the one who would assure us of our eternal life, right? So if you sense that presence of Christ in you, kung nararanasan nyo, nararamdaman nyo yan, it signals the active work of Christ's Spirit in our life. And if so, then go and make disciples. And for this special purpose, to make disciples, Christ has set us apart. Christ has consecrated us. Christ made us saints. Now, in verse 1 it says, let's read this together. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. In here, the first word that was written, his name, Paul, he introduced himself at the beginning of the book of Romans, and it proves, and there's no question, that he authored the book of Romans, although Tertius, a friend maybe, a co-worker, ministry partner, wrote the book of Romans for him. And Paul did not hesitate. He clearly said he was set apart. He was set apart for the gospel, especially for the gospel of God. To be set apart, it means to be consecrated. Can you give me that slide? There's no. Okay. To be set apart is to be consecrated, to be holy, or assigned for God's special purposes. And the Lord has set apart all believers, and He mandated us to share the gospel. And Paul considered himself an apostle. In the term apostle, this evolved from the Greek word apostolos, which properly interpreted as messenger or sent on a mission. It also pertains to an envoy, delegates commissioned by an authority to represent in some way, especially those sent out by Christ to preach the gospel. Why did Christ commission apostles? It features authority, His authority as the Lord. Now, you heard something like, Lord, come be the Lord of my life, as if we are more authoritative than the Lord. When we say, come Lord, be the Lord of my life, even if we do not accept Him as Lord and Savior, He is still the Lord. Remember that. The Western way of doing it is like that, and in some way it is very disrespectful to the Lord. Come, Lord, be the Lord of my life. Lord, we invite you, we welcome you in this place. Kind of like as if He's not everywhere, right? That is how the Western see it. But in my opinion, that's my opinion, it's very disrespectful. You may disagree, but it's for me, if we say the Lord is Lord, even if we don't invite Him, He is still the Lord. Even if we invite Him, He is still the Lord. It doesn't change. That doesn't change. He calls, He commissions, He sends His messengers. Paul teaches in Galatians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, There's no Galatians chapter 2, verse 8. All right. For God, let's read, for God who was at work in Peter as an apostle to the circumcised was also worked in me as an apostle to the Gentiles. The term circumcised pertains to Jewish people, and all other people who are not Jewish are called Gentiles. So we are Gentiles. The term Gentile pertains to races, nations, ethnic, cultural group of people. In Greek word translated Gentiles is ethne. And in the Great Commission, go and make disciples of all nations, the term nation was translated from the same Greek word ethne. The singular form is ethnos, which implies, what does that imply? Apostle Paul, as apostle to the Gentiles, as apostle to the nations, Paul exemplified for us believers our mandate to reach out and make disciple of all nations. So Paul, give us an example. Reading the book of Romans now, or studying the book of Romans, will enable us and help us how we may be able to do our part in the Lord's mandate. And we are to go make disciples to particular cultural, ethnic groups of people that the Lord has already assigned for us, prepared for us, individually or as a church. When the Lord commanded, go and make disciples, this is not something that you go and trying to many more. Which one would I disciple? No. We keep on praying, that the Lord would redirect us to that person, to that cultural group that the Lord wants us. What cultural group does Christ wants us to reach out and make disciples? We've got to pray. Seek and listen carefully. Know how the Lord works around us. Individually, the Lord has already prepared the person he wants us to disciple. If you are already a disciple of Christ, he sure doesn't want you to stay in your situation, not doing anything and not growing in your spiritual growth. The Lord wants us to grow in our spiritual growth and disciple somebody. It could be that your disciple would become your wife, you'd become your husband. It happened to me. My wife discipled me. So I can say that, I can testify to that. It could be that the person laging nangungulit sa'yo is the person God wants you to disciple. You do not try to go and force yourself and knock on the door. I want you to become my disciple. No. God has already prepared that. And if you are not prepared yet, there will be time for that. So wait for that, God's timing. As a church, we've got to be unified, praying together. How can we pray together? Pray for the cultural group that he wants to add as members of his local church, the Meeples Evangelical Church. Every church, every local church has a cultural or ethnicity. Oh, we are in inclusive kind of church. Well, it becomes chaos if there's cultural misunderstanding. Individually, we are mandated to make disciples. Collectively, as member of the body of Christ, this church, we have responsibility to get involved. For sure, if not, all of us, most of us, wish that this church will grow spiritually and numerically. Can you say amen if you wish that?
Amen.
There are a few, at least. Have you heard one of the most neglected duty of Christian is to pray? praying is the most neglected, one of the most neglected duty of Christian. Prophet Samuel testified in 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23. Let's read this together. As for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you. Prophet Samuel didn't want to sin by failing to pray for his fellow Israelites. So pray that God would help you keep on praying for potential disciples and for fellow church members. If a church member would come to your mind because naalala mo yung utang niya, just pray. Pray mo siya, right? Pray that he would be blessed, more blessed. I usually pray for my brothers and sisters, biological brothers and sisters. Lord, would you bless my brothers and sisters more than me so that hindi sila mangungutang sa akin? Truly, they were blessed materially more than me. But still, they come to me. Well, so I pray, Lord, you know, bless me more that I will become blessing to them. That would be perhaps better prayer. You can add similar prayer item to your prayer time with your loved ones, when you are praying with your loved ones, with your friends, when you are praying with your friends, or when you are praying with church members. When we come to the point of our spiritual life, when we become consistent in our prayer time, it shows that God, the Lord, is actively at work in our life. Christ was not relegated to the corner of our life. He is actively inspiring us. So in preparation to making disciples, the enthusiasm of reading the scripture is amplified. We need to read the scripture. We need to pray. Reading the scripture and praying, that is some kind of preparation in making disciples. Why? We need to know and answer questions that potential disciple might be able to ask us. In verse 2 and 3, let's read this together. The gospel he promised beforehand through his prophet in the Holy Scripture regarding his son, who as to his earthly life was descendant of David. Now, the term gospel has evolved from the Greek term euangelion, which was properly translated as good news of the coming of Messiah. And the term gospel in the scripture has evolved from the Old English Godspell or good spell, the combination of the word good in spell. And the term good is properly interpreted as morally excellent and righteous. So when you say, how are you? I'm good. Many times we hear that, but so they are saying and they are excellent and they are righteous. It would be better to say I'm fine than instead of I'm good. But we also try to imitate what others or people we hear from this part of the world, because they say I'm good, and they are saying. And many times, even if they are English speakers, they don't necessarily mean what they mean, what they are saying. It's just mababaw ang kanilang meaning sa word na ginagamit nila. And the term, the word spell, it pertains to word or announcement or even irresistible influence. You know, the witch scraps, the witch would spell you something like that. So in simple language, the gospel of Christ is good news. Why? Because it is morally excellent and righteous announcement with irresistible influence to all believers. So when the gospel of Christ is has an effect in our life, we can just cannot resist that effect. Meaning there's this powerful effect of the gospel in our life. It is not just some kind of good news that we hear, something like bad news, or that there are many bad news out there. Never mind. Or the good news, something like, yay, nanalo ang mga basketball men dahil wala ako, hindi ako pumunta. Hindi, walang pasaway. Hindi ako kasama, kaya nanalo sila. Sometimes it gets, right? I was thinking about that. It also, something like, oh, andito si pastor, may kasama tayo. They are depending upon me. Kala nila akong star player, kaya tatatalo sila. Eh, ngayon, dahil kukunti sila, they trusted in the Lord, perhaps, and they won the game. Nanalo sila. Something that you might want to watch someday when they go for championship, I hope. Anyway. So, if you'd accept it, the good news won't keep our experience in Christ silent. We cannot be silent in our experience with Christ, in Christ. It cannot be safe, privately, secret. Oh, kamusta na? Kamusta na ang buhay Kristiyano? Secret. Yeah. We love to say, secret. Yeah. But no, it's not. Life of Christian is not secret. It cannot be silent. So, have you seen? Have you would sense that irresistible influence of the gospel of Christ. Have you sensed that yet? To tell others about it. The gospel of Christ was prophesied in the Old Testament, and those prophets who prophesied it may have wished that they would realize God's promise. They have wished that they would see the coming of the Messiah, but they believe it even if Christ didn't come in their generation. Eventually, Christ came, he died, resurrected, and promised to return and consummate the glorification of all believers. Now, when we accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are given, we are assured of eternal life, but it is impartial. Why? We need to be glorified. That glorification, the changing of our physical body from mortal to immortality, that is the consummation of Christ's eternal life in us. So that in eternity, after that, when He returns, we will not die again. Amen for that. The scripture is very significant in our knowledge of Christ because we are reminded that what we need to prepare for, how we may explain, how we may answer interested listeners when they ask questions. It says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 to 16, let's read this together. But in your heart revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness, in respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. So that is one thing to remind us. Many times in our desire to help this person be convinced, our emotional part of life is not helpful. So we need to be gentle, pray for gentleness, pray and respect. If they don't agree with us, respect that. We can agree to disagree. Okay, if that's what you believe, then I respect your opinion. Just don't. Maybe that person is not time yet for you to be able to disciple. So keep on praying. When they reject you one time, it doesn't mean that it's the end of the world. It's the end for that person. Perhaps when you share the gospel, you were just planting the seed. If you were just planting the seed, just if you are a planter, it will not become a beautiful flower immediately. It takes time of watering, waiting. That is why I love planting, because I want to see how plants grow. Same is with the church. As much as we want to grow immediately, there's need of watering. Maybe at this time it's watering. If it's not blooming yet, or flowering yet, or bearing fruit yet, one day it may. So how do we revere Christ as Lord and prepare ourselves? What should we practice or exercise as preparation? We pray and read the scripture. Not a few people adhere to the saying, action speaks louder than word. Have you used that phrase before? Action speaks louder than words. And observers would also want to know if we really practice what we preach. So they are observing us, observing if we really have the fruit of the Spirit in us. Do we have that joy? Do you have that peace? Are we rattled when we have problems? The gospel practically manifested, should practically manifest in our life. Did it happen to your life yet? When we trusted in Christ as our Savior, are there practical changes in our mindset and lifestyle? Do I act like before in my old life? Now, you heard about this. The Lord Jesus compared the kingdom of God to the 10 virgins who were waiting to meet the bridegroom. Let's read this together. This is very popular, but it helps us to be reminded. Let's read verse 1. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. Verse 6, at midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some oil of your oil. Our lamps going out." "No," they replied, "there are not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." Verse 10. But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgin who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly, I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." Now, that is the shutting of the door is a testimony, practical example of the authority of the Lord of Lords. So we do not dictate the Lord. He dictates. We need to understand that. When he shuts, he shuts. When he says, "You cannot come in," you cannot come in. "You are late," you are late. You cannot. There are two different kinds of people represented in the 10 virgins waiting for the bridegroom. Some people are not prepared in the coming of Christ. They hear it, but they just ignore it, because they follow a cultural practice, when the cultural practice is this: the bridegroom waits for the bride, right? Nung kayo mga may asawa, nung kayo ay kinasal, sino naghintay? Ang groom, right? That is the cultural practice. Dahan-dahan naman ng pa-importante na bride. Why? She feels so important that day. It's my day. Wait for me. You wait. And that is what Christians are practicing. They want the Lord to wait. As we are the church, we are the bride, we want the groom to wait for us. If they want the Lord to wait for them instead of waiting the Lord, it is not biblical. That is cultural but not biblical. Remember that. If you always let the Lord wait for you, you are just practicing cultural practices. It says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20, let's read this. "To those who were disobedient long ago, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah, while the ark being built, kulang yung sandali. Kulang yung aking inilagay dyan. Let me read. Or if you have your Bible, go ahead and find that. If you can find it faster than me. In it, only a few people, 8 in all, were saved through the waters. Now, look at that. To those who were disobedient long ago, when God waited patiently. I now understand bakit yan lang nilagay ko. Listen, the Lord waited patiently. Sino pong hinihintay ng Panginoon? The unbelievers. He waited patiently for unbelievers to believe the good news. Have you ever read in the scripture that says, let the Lord wait for believers. The Lord waited for believers. He waited for the disobedient, the unbelievers, the disobedient. He waits for the disobedient. And what happened to them? He waited and waited, but they were not able to enter the ark. That is a very practical illustration of what would happen for those whom God are waiting. Why would the Lord have no need to wait for genuine believers? Bakit po? Bakit po hinihintay ng Panginoon ang mga genuine believers? After we accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, the Spirit of Christ in us becomes active in us. When the Christ Spirit is active in us, we sense some kind of embarrassment to let the Lord wait for us. Yun yung konsyensya na gamit niya. Wow! We don't like the Lord to wait for us. Well, I thought I was the Lord of my house because ama ng tahanan. But I always wait sa car. Nangyayari lagi. Di ba, mga tatay? O kayo ang hinihintay para alis na kayo. I hope this that would remind my family that they would go ahead and go to the car earlier than me instead of me waiting for them. After we accepted Christ, we sense some kind of embarrassment to let the Lord wait for us. The Holy Spirit gives us realization how awesome and worthy is the Lord for us to be quick in obeying Him so that we don't want to delay our obedience. It's kind of like, wow, mayroong concert. You like it. And you don't want, gusto mo nang nakapila ka na doon, hindi pa nagbubukas ang gate, andun ka na, nakapila ka. You want to be in the number one. Now, Boxing Day, as if it's your Lord, right? Andun ka, nakapila, natutulog, nagkukumot pa. Ha? Kahit may snow, negative 35. Your Lord is the Boxing Day. That is the very... I'm sorry, Kali. Kali, akala ni Kali nagagalit. Nagagalit si Pastor sa akin. Sorry, Kali. Now, just imagine. Christ, the King of Kings, surrounded with powerful army. His angels were ready to obey. But who are we to tell? Hold on, Lord. Hold on. Huh. I got to answer this phone. Wait. Just wait. Okay. Okay. Oh, Lord. Okay. Ano na nga? Ano nga pala yan? We do that often to the Lord. We want to wait. We want Him to wait. So to let the Lord wait is disrespectful to the King of Kings. You are saying if you do that, you have a proud heart and say, You are not very important to me, Lord. No, this is more important than you, Lord. Sinabi mo pang Lord. You don't understand the meaning of Lord. You are saying that to him. King David has exemplified how believers should behave before the Lord. Psalms chapter 40 verse 1 and Psalms 37 verse 7. Let's read this together. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. Psalm 37 verse 7. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their way, when they carry the wicked schemes. Now, if you are having some kind of difficulties in life right now, this is the time to wait upon the Lord. Try to wait upon the Lord and not him waiting for you. Rightfully, the human ancestry of Christ was traced from the lineage of David, and truly he was blessed waiting patiently for the Lord. We are not king like King David, but we can wait, right? We can wait patiently. Why? Because the Holy Spirit bears fruit of patience in us. In the parable of the 10 virgins, 5 foolish virgins had missed their chance to join the wedding banquet. And we don't all want that tragedy, do we? So we pray that the Lord helps us to be spiritually prepared and eager to wait for the Lord, like those 5 wise virgins who joined the wedding banquet. We pray that Christ inspire us to sense the urgency to live a holy life. Let's read verse 4. In who through the Spirit of holiness was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ. Now, the term holiness, or to be holy, is properly interpreted as set apart, sacred, pure, morally blameless, consecrated, or saint. So genuine believers are called saints because we have in us the likeness of nature with the Lord, which is to be different from the worldly nature. Are you a saint? Saint San Lorenzo? Are you a saint? Are you a saint? Yes. Be assured of that. Have confidence in the Lord. It's not the Pope who would give you the name saint. It's the Lord who will make you saint. All right? What lifestyle do we have as sacred saints when the Spirit of holiness set us apart or consecrate us? Like Christ-like lifestyle. It's pure and morally blameless. Let's read first Philippians chapter 2, 5 to 11. Have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under earth. Every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, don't try to imitate na magpapako sa cross, something like ginagawa nila doon sa east. That is not the thing that Christ wants us to do, because that is only an activity meant for Christ to save us from our sins. Because when Christ was nailed on the cross, our sins had been nailed on the cross with the body of Christ. Christ carried our sins, take us from us, so that we become perfect, become blameless and righteous before the eyes of God when we accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior. So how could we become humble like Christ? We cannot. We cannot become humble. Oh, and I am so humble. Timidity is not humility. Now, that is for certain. We cannot do it. No effort, human effort, can make one to be humble. Why? Humility is the fruit of the Spirit. If it is the fruit of the Spirit, let the Holy Spirit bear fruit of humility in us, meaning we've got to seek the Lord to fill us and empower us with His Holy Spirit. So when we sense that we are so proud, proud of our accomplishment, proud of our of the things we've got, proud of ourselves, proud of our stature, then, Lord, I'm so proud. I'm so proud nanalo kami. Lord, bear fruit in my life. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 to 16 says, let's read. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace and helps us in time of need. Every time we move, there are many things that we need the Lord to help us. Pray, keep on praying, keep on asking, keep on praying for wisdom. Christ understood and experienced that temptation that we are experiencing. If you are tempted to kain ng chicharon kahit alam mo na hindi maganda sa'yo, ask the Lord, Lord, ang daming chicharon pa, pwede bang isa lang? Isang chicharon lang. He will help us to overcome temptation if we seek His help. In a little while, our Board of Trustees Chairman will report our activities as a church. It's not only the Board of Trustees' work, it's the whole church's work that he will be reporting in a little while. And many of you have been actively involved. And may we all continue to seek God's special purpose for us, His design for us, and obey Him enthusiastically. The word enthusiasm comes from the word entheos, or with God, in God. We can be enthusiastic with God's inspiring. There's that peace, that joy, that patience, faithfulness, goodness, kindness. And as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we are reminded of Christ's obedience, even to His death on the cross. The obedient spirit of Christ can empower us to become obedient in our mandate to proclaim the gospel of Christ. So shall we stand up and pray that the Lord will inspire us, empower us to live a lifestyle that would practically prove that the gospel of Christ has taken effect in our life personally. Let's bow down our heads. If in case you are still in doubt of your faith in God, Lord, tell Him, Lord, I'm still doubting about my salvation. Strengthen my faith, increase my faith. Help me trust You. Help me be reminded that You have already taken all my sins when You were crucified on the cross. Ask Him to empower you with the Holy Spirit.